Hear now the reading of God's Word from Matthew's Gospel, the 13th chapter, beginning with the 24th verse, the Word of God for the people of God. Jesus told them yet another parable. He said, "The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field, but while everyone was sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and then went away. And when the wheat sprouted and formed heads, then the weeds also appeared. The owner's servants came to him and said, 'Sir, didn't you sow good seed in your field? Where then did these weeds come from?' And the owner replied, 'An enemy did this.' The servants then asked him, 'Well, do you want us to go and pull them up?' And the owner answered, 'No, because while you are pulling up the weeds, you may root up the wheat with them. So let both grow together until the harvest. And at that time, I will tell the harvesters, first collect the weeds and tie them in bundles to be burned, and then gather the wheat and bring it into my barn.'" May God add his blessings to this, the reading of his word. Last week, those of you who were here for the traditional hour, remember that I just flaunted my ignorance when it comes to gardening. I just let it show that I have this brown thumb, that I absolutely know nothing about how to make anything grow. And today I want to thank all of you who, over the course of these last several days, have rushed to my aid and have shared with me all manner of counsel. It's not the first time that's happened. Over the years, have had a lot of people who have tried to help me, and I have received a good bit of advice, which I have done my best to put into practice. You just can't believe what people have told me over the years. I remember someone saying, "Now, Doug, you know, it isn't a challenge to plant stuff. I mean, that's not hard at all. The hard part comes when the weeds start to appear with whatever you've planted. And you got to get rid of the weeds if you want what you have planted to grow." And let me give you a piece of advice this person told me. Just start to pull up what you think is a weed. And if it appears as if it is pulling out of the ground very easily, don't go any farther, because what you're pulling up is a good plant. It's not the weed. You're pulling up the wrong thing. And I thought to myself, do I really want to give my time and energy to something as difficult as that? But as many of you would say, well, what is the alternative? Is the alternative to let the world just go to the weeds? When you think about it, that's as much a theological question as it is a botanical question. Is the alternative just to let the world go to the weeds? Case in point, I've been asked a lot of theological questions over the course of my ministry, but I dare say that you could guess the one question that I have been asked more than any other question, because chances are it's the question that has dogged you every step of your faith journey. And you know what the question is. If God is so good, If God wills good, if God is all about doing good, then how do you explain all of the evil that exists in the world? Now, that's probably a question that you have wrestled with over the course of your life and your faith, even as I have wrestled with it. If God is all about doing good, then how do we account for all of the bad stuff that is all around us? I mean, everywhere you turn today, it seems as if there's nothing but evil things happening. Some new terrorist cell that emerges in another part of the world, or some strain of some new disease that all of a sudden is threatening an entire people group, or folk who are starving, or random acts of violence, or people taking advantage of other people economically and politically and socially and every other way imaginable. I mean, how can we account for all of those weeds in God's good garden? Now, that's not a new question. It's not a question that we have thought to ask in recent days. That's a question that has been asked for many, many, many years. A question that people asked Jesus. A question that perhaps Jesus himself wrestled with. Which is why in this parable that is before us this morning, Jesus felt compelled, more than led. He felt compelled to speak to that burning question. Why all of the weeds in God's good garden? You know the parable, you've heard it many times, or have you? Have you? The kingdom of heaven. Jesus is telling stories about the rule of God and the reign of God and the reality of God's dominion here on earth, right now, in the present hour. Jesus says it's like a man who goes out into his field and he sows what? Pay attention to the parable. The owner of the field sows good seed. But then what happens? An enemy comes when everyone is sleeping, when people aren't paying attention. And what does the enemy do? The enemy sows weeds into that same field where the owner has sown good seed. And in time, what happens? The wheat comes up. The good seed comes up. But lo and behold, the weeds grow up along with the wheat. And the workers, they are dumbfounded. They have questions. How can this be? What gives? How do we explain the weeds among the wheat? Did you not sow good seed into the field? And of course, the owner says, absolutely, you know for yourselves. What I put into that field was good seed, but what's happened is that an enemy has come and has sown weeds among the wheat, to which the workers then say, well, do you want us to go out and pull up the weeds? And what does the owner say? Absolutely not. Because in your desire to pull up the weeds, you may unwittingly pull up the wheat along with it. So let them grow together, the owner says. Let them grow together. And when the harvest time comes, I will send the harvesters in the field and they will take those weeds. And at that time, they will bundle them up to be burned. And what will be left is the wheat, which I will have gathered and put into my barn. So what was Jesus saying with this parable? One thing he was saying that we need to take account of, that we need to be certain about, is that in this world in which we are living, there is an enemy. There is an enemy that is committed to destroying everything that is good. In this world in which we are living, there is a devil. There is a Satan. And that being is committed to frustrating the good purposes of God in every way possible. Now, having said that, I know that it is not very fashionable in the 21st century world to speak about the Prince of Darkness. But the fact of the matter is that the evil that we encounter in this world is not God's doing. There is another force, a pernicious force, an evil force that is committed to destroying anything good that God sets about to do. We need to be aware of it, Jesus is saying, because we need to be prepared when those times come in the course of life that we have to deal with the weeds. We may like to think that this life is all fun and games, that our everyday existence is to be an exclusively downhill run, that the primary objective in life is always to be happy and never to have to deal with any problems. But what Jesus is saying in this passage is that to think about our everyday experience in this way is simply not realistic. God created the world to be good. We see that in the book of Genesis. The very first chapter, God speaking creation into existence. It's good, it's good, it's good. God creates us in His image. God says, very good. But what happens? People choose to go their own way. You and I choose to go our own way instead of God's way. And the devil wins. The world in which we are now living is not the world God created it to be. It is not the world God intended it to be. We should not be surprised when bad things happen to good people. We live in the midst of fallen times. We live as fallen people in the midst of fallen times. That's what Jesus is saying. You want to know why there's so much bad taking place today? It's because there's an enemy in the world. And he's real. But the second thing Jesus says is a much more encouraging word. Though there is an enemy in the world today who is seeking to destroy the good purposes of God, who is endeavoring in every way possible to frustrate God's purposes in your life, that enemy will not be successful. The harvest is going to happen. God's purposes will indeed come to pass. When Jesus talks about this enemy, he is neither surprised nor exasperated by the presence of evil. And as Jesus speaks this parable, he knows that the hour is coming when he must confront the powers of darkness through his death on the cross. Jesus knows the evil that is before him, but he is neither surprised nor is he exasperated about what he sees in his own life, because he is confident. Jesus is supremely confident that what God wills to come to pass, God has the power to make that happen. In theological terms, we speak of God's ability to do what God ultimately intends to do as the sovereignty of God. That though there are enemies in this world and evil in this world, and there is a devil that is seeking to divide us from God, contrary to popular belief, God and Satan are not at the same level. God and Satan are not equal in power. The owner of the field and the enemy that sows the weeds in the field, they are not equal in status. And what Jesus is telling us in this parable is that one day the harvest is going to come. God's purposes are going to be fulfilled. The resurrection of Jesus is proof of the fact that God has won the victory. And not only has God won the victory, but through our faith in the risen Jesus, the promise of God is that victory has been transferred, given over to you through your trust and devotion in Jesus. Though now, you must deal with darkness, and there are seasons of despair. The good news of the gospel is that in your life, the good news of the gospel is that in terms of all creation, God is about the business of putting this world to rights. And one day, the kingdoms of this world will become the kingdom of our Lord in Christ. There is an enemy, but that enemy cannot, will not ever frustrate the purposes of God. Which leads to the final application of the parable. So what do we do in the meantime? And Jesus' answer, you trust God. And you exercise some patience. And you live in the hope that even now there are some weeds who are capable of being transformed, redeemed into the kind of wheat that one day will be gathered into the Master's barn. I mentioned as well last week that the thing about Jesus' parables, yes, they're stories that we readily identify with because they're drawn from our everyday experience, but be careful. There is always some measure of surprise and shock to these lessons that Jesus gave about what it means to allow the reality of God's reign and his rule into your life. What does it mean to be a citizen of the kingdom of heaven? For me, the shocking truth of this parable that Jesus told, it's not the fact that there's an enemy in the world. Goodness knows, who can't see that for himself or herself? It's not even the fact that the enemy will not win. God will win. We know that because every Sunday we celebrate the good news of the gospel. What shocks me are the owners, servants, who want to rush into the field and pull up the weeds. "Do you want us to pull them up?" they ask the master. And what does the master say, the owner of the field? "Oh, no. Oh, no, don't pull up the weeds, because despite your good intentions in the process, you may be pulling up some wheat. Just let them grow together. And at harvest time, we'll sort them out." I think among the church today, there's been far too much impatience and impulsiveness. And even though our intentions in most situations have been good, we've wanted to make a dent for the kingdom, we've wanted to take a stand for righteousness, the judgmentalism and the hypercriticism that exists today among God's people, only heaven knows how much wheat has been pulled up because of our insistence that you got to have the right interpretation of Scripture, which interestingly is always my interpretation of Scripture. You got to have the right interpretation of Scripture. You got to see it like I see it, because I know what God intended to say. You got to have the right observance of the Lord's Supper for the right reason. You got to do baptism in the right way. I could go on and on and on with examples of how we have set up these systems to rid the field of the weeds, when the truth of the matter is that every one of us is a weed who has only become a shock of wheat because of God's grace poured out to us in Jesus Christ. You heard the hymn that Kelly had us to sing this morning, which we only sing at Thanksgiving because it's about Thanksgiving. But today we sing it and it's about wheat and tares, wheat and weeds growing together. And the thing about the weeds about which Jesus is speaking, it's a certain kind of weed that looks an awful lot like wheat. And you can't tell which is wheat and which is weeds until both have become fully grown. And what Jesus is saying is that the best thing for us to do while we await God's harvest is simply to focus on our own lives and to make sure that our hearts are sufficiently open so that God might do something in us that ensures that on the day when Jesus returns to gather his people unto himself, we will be in that number. The best thing for us to do is to be patient and to be hopeful, and to give ourselves to God's grace in Jesus Christ in such a way that God might continue to do a work in us, and that as his people together, his workers in this field, that God might do something in us, that God might use us in such a way to help people around us come to a saving knowledge of Jesus, in the same way that one day somebody helped me to do, and one day someone helped you to do as well. Otherwise, we would have had no hope. No hope whatsoever. But because of Jesus, there's not a person whose life can't be radically redeemed. The kingdom of heaven, Jesus says. The rule and the reign of God. I know how exasperating it is to check the news, to listen to what's going on in the world, to see all of the stuff that's happening all around us. Just seems like the world is going to you know where in a handbasket. But Jesus says, now you can know better. Not all of the world. Not the world that God created. Not the part of the world who places their trust in Jesus. You be patient. You be hopeful. And you let God do in your life what God wills to do. And you let God do through your life what God wills to do. And in God's time, the harvest will come. You'll be a part of it. And in the meantime, simply trust your life to the Master. And all will be good.